Our reading tonight is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, and beginning to read at verse 1. This can be found on page 1036 of the Church Bibles. Luke, chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 1, the parable of the sower. After this, Jesus travelled from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others, I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. This is the word of God. Be God.
Joe, thank you very much for reading that to us. Good evening. I heard a story of a fellow who ran a haulage company who received a request to transport a flock of penguins from a park in northern Britain to a zoo in London. As he was travelling down the M1, he had a breakdown, and he was aware that he might not fulfil his contract. So he phoned a friend and said, "Look, can you help me? I'll give you £300 if you can come and pick up these penguins and take them to the zoo." His mate arrived with his truck, and you can probably picture the scene, maybe you can't. They transferred the penguins from the broken down van into the other one on the hard shoulder. And the chap drove off, whilst he, the driver of the broken down lorry, just set about repairing his truck, which he managed to do quite quickly. And so, having a look at his watch, he thought, you know, I think I'll travel on down to London anyway, so that I can just check that everything's okay. And as he got towards London, he got into a queue of traffic. No surprise in that. And he started crawling. He was looking at his watch, said, I don't know if it's a wasted journey or not. And then to his shock, he saw that actually the queue of traffic was created because just up the road, there were penguins wandering around. So he parked up, got out of his truck, and went to see what was happening. And eventually he got there and he saw the chap who'd picked up the penguins. And he went up to him and said, what on earth are you doing? Why are you here? Why aren't the penguins in the zoo? And he said, well, you gave me £300. Didn't cost me a fraction of that to take them to the zoo, so I've taken them shopping as well. Which is a way of introducing the theme that I want to talk about this evening. It's not what we hear, but how we hear it. Do you know, every week we do a funny thing here. Roughly the same group of people, that's us, you, come in here, and we hear a familiar person. We're very blessed in this church that it's not always the same voice, but it is one which is familiar. Talk to us. Now, if the average preacher or speaker averages about 100 words a minute, it means you'll hear about 3,000 words in a sermon. Maybe around 150,000 words in a year. And moreover, we are all different too. So when we hear what is said, or indeed what we read or see, God's word presented to us, there is no doubt we all receive it differently. Now, God communicates his words in a variety of ways. Whilst how this is done is important, and indeed how we receive God's word could fill a series of sermons in its own right, I want to focus on how we receive it. And the parable that Joe read to us, I think, helps guide us through this. If you want to have it open in front of you as we travel through it, it's on page 1036 in the Bibles that we have here. And I want to try and paint the picture, if I can, of this parable. So we're outdoors. It's a good day to have done this, although it's a bit chilly, because it's the sort of day when we might have indeed gone out for a walk. And we get the impression that Jesus is outside with this group of people. And they're a diverse lot. Yes, the disciples are there, and this group of women. We can get the impression that perhaps they're quite wealthy women because they are supporting things themselves. And then followers from a range of different backgrounds. And a growing number of inquisitive and curious bystanders. A diverse group, not much similarity amongst them. And yet they're all keen to receive God's word. They want to hear Jesus. And he has to get his message across. Maybe some of them are very well educated. Some of them perhaps have no background education to speak of. And Jesus needs to find some common ground. So, as we are told, he tells this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds ate it up, and some fell on rocky ground, where it became It grew a little bit and then withered because of lack of moisture, and some fell amongst thorns, which grew up and choked it. And then other seed fell on good ground, and it came up and it yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. And then when he said this, he called out, "Right, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Well, there you are. I've told it to you. You don't need to hear from me anymore, so I might as well have done my bit. And yet, we needed a bit more. If he'd stopped there, perhaps they'd have thought, well, this isn't particularly informative. But it was common ground. And I have this picture, I want you to have this picture of Jesus amongst these people as he's telling this story. He may be saying, well, look at that guy over there. And just on a hillside somewhere, he can see a farmer wandering around, chucking out his seed. It was very familiar to them. The sort of ground all these people saw every time they looked out into the distance. Paths, rocky waste, thorns, weeds, some good well-tended fields. Just the sort of thing these people saw every day when they went about their daily business. It was just an ordinary, everyday place. This crowd were surrounded by common ground. And there would be no danger, but those listening would not have been able to picture the scene that Jesus was describing. It was there, right in front of them. They were standing on it as Jesus spoke to them. Common people on common ground, waiting for Jesus to speak, waiting for God's word. Now, I wonder what they were expecting. Lofty prophecy? Words of great wisdom? Perhaps something deep? Perhaps something too complicated for ordinary people maybe to understand? Those people just standing beside a field. Until about this time, perhaps most of Jesus' ministry seems to have been, as we read the gospel accounts, carried out and confined to synagogues. He hadn't, at this stage in his ministry, got out much. But here we have Jesus on tour, so to speak, out in the open air with the everyday people. And as they're standing there, Jesus tells them this parable. Now, a parable, the word parable is derived from the Greek word a parabole, which means placing beside. Effectively, a parable might therefore be thought of as a parallel or a comparison. So what Jesus is saying to this group of people is effectively, look, guys, I'm here, I'm talking to you here, and if you look over there, you'll see what that fellow's doing. And what that fellow's doing there, and what I'm talking about here, are effectively the same thing. So if you can understand what he's doing, you'll get what I'm saying. And it looks as though Jesus just tells a story, adds a sort of thought-provoking punchline, and is ready to leave. Surely not. He can't just do that. He can't just say, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. It seems like nobody was able to figure out what Jesus meant by this story. So his disciples asked him what this parable meant, and he said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. And this, in a way, is our first hint at something that is happening below the surface here. Jesus is illustrating, even in the way that he tells the parable, that different types of hearing take place when people hear God's word. Jesus understood that even when he himself preached, people heard him differently. And that is what is central to the understanding of this parable, this parabole, this comparison of the life of the everyday and the life how God intended it to be, life in the kingdom. Jesus explains the meaning of the parable in verses 11 to 15. This is the meaning of the parable, he says. The seed is the word of God. That phrase will come up in what I'm going to say several times. Seed. At first sight, inanimate. Static. Powerless. Even apparently dead. I'm sure many of you have planted seeds or maybe taken a handful of grass seed to cover up those patches in the lawn. And you look at it and you think, well, not much is going to come out of this. Or you pick out the little ones out the packet of something, lettuce seeds or something, and they're tiny. And you can't sort of, it says plant one every 8 inches, and you can't even get hold of one. So you end up with sort of 80 each inch and things like that. But seed is absolutely full of potential. The worth of any seed, however, is entirely dependent on the properties of the ground in which it is sown. Now, God's word, of course, has life in it too. But its potential depends entirely on how the word is received. And in the next five or so verses of this parable, Jesus then explains this parable. Now, as I was preparing this talk and thinking particularly about it, because it's so well known and so familiar, I realise that in many ways it is a metaphor, not so much for the types of people, but also in its way for periods in our own lives. And in effect, and the effect that those different times have upon how we are receptive, or we might be receptive to God's word, and how we respond to it. Departing a little bit from the theme, I've had a really busy week with stuff going on at grammar school, and I got this started some time ago, and then I sort of hit a period of time where I couldn't focus on it, and I knew I had to get it done, otherwise this talk wouldn't be taking place. And yet, just hadn't devoted much time to it until I woke up quite early on Thursday morning. And my head was buzzing with stuff. And I woke up and I said to Heather, I've just got what I'm going to say here. And I remain convinced that in that period of time, that was God, and he'd chucked some seeds and allowed them to germinate. Let me explain what I mean. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe or be saved. Imagine Jesus saying this to this crowd. Have a look over there. You know, if we carry on walking, we'll go up there, we'll go beside that field. Look at the path that runs along beside the field. Now, that path is where people who are on the move go. It's where the busy people are, the ones in a hurry, maybe the ones on a mission. How often are we like that? How often are we on the path, as it were? We spend so much of our time moving from one thing to another, doing one thing and then ticking it off on the to-do list or putting a line through it and then moving on to the next thing. Not that lists aren't a good thing. We need them. But we need them because we're busy. We don't stop. We are always on the go. And it's like Jesus is saying, look at that bit there. Is it any wonder that seeds don't grow there? After all, it's always being trampled on. People are going backwards and forwards down there. They're busy getting there. They're looking back there. They don't even notice what's underneath their feet, so they trample on it. And even if it's quiet, then birds will come down and feed it, and feed on it. The seed is the word of God. And if we want to be people of the word, if we want to hear words from God, maybe we need to just step off the path. Maybe we need to just stop walking, to slow down and actually allow the seeds to germinate before they get trampled underfoot or forgotten as we go past them. Those on the rocks are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Again, we're beside that field as Jesus is telling this story, and he points out just the fringes of the path, the places where the soil's thin. It's those places where maybe the farmer, in actually looking after the good ground, has picked off some of the bigger stones and chucked them to get them out of the way of his plough. He'll pick them up later. Maybe they'll become useful then. And maybe it's where some people who've been on that busy path have indeed just stepped off it to let somebody who's in a bigger hurry get past. You know what it's like when you go for a walk and the path's busy and you see somebody coming and they look as though they're just doing it more efficiently than you are. So you step to one side to let them through. Or somebody with a family is coming down with a buggy or whatever. You get off the path. It's where you stand if you need to let people pass you. You go there perhaps even to be helpful. But as soon as you can, you get back on the path. That rocky, stony bit beside the path, it's a sort of nowhere place. It's not a field, but it's not a path either. In a way, it's a I can't be bothered with it now place. And is it any wonder that seeds don't thrive there? Yes, seeds germinate because there's a bit of soil there, but there's no depth to it. They don't survive. There's no attention paid to the seeds there. And yet the seed is the word of God. And I think we've all been there at times, just off the path, in that rocky place. We possibly went there to be helpful, off the path and not in other people's way. Or maybe we'd stopped walking to look across the field, excited by what lay ahead. And having received the word of God, we stepped back onto the path and we just carried on walking. Or maybe we tripped over one of those rocks. To be true people of the word, we can't spend our time on this thin, rocky soil. The word of God won't thrive there. It needs and deserves better. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches and pleasures. And they do not mature. You can imagine, can't you, that the wind was blowing a gentle breeze while Jesus was talking. And the crowd was partly aware of it, but it's an everyday thing. It's rarely completely calm. It's a bit like life, really. And the wind blows the seeds about. They're light and easily transported. And the farmer is extravagant with how the seed is chucked out there. And indeed, some seeds, other seeds, are actually designed to be carried by the wind, to be picked up and moved. That's especially so of the seeds of thorns and thistles. And they only seem to get put down in those corners out of the wind. Sunny, sheltered places, indeed places where we might choose to rest when the going gets tough. That's where they thrive, those thorns and those thistles and those weeds, strangling any weaker, less resilient species. And it's hard for a germinating seed to compete with a thriving weed. It needs help, it needs care and attention, because germinating seeds are weak and fragile and easily destroyed. They're vulnerable to stronger and more vigorous growth. And yet, the seed is the word of God. And for us, life throws up plenty of difficulties to deal with. We've never been promised an easy journey. And I've had no doubt that were I to go round amongst us this evening, we would all have cares and concerns that occupy our minds. That is life. And it can seem like a field of thorns and thistles at times. As a community of God's people, people of the Word, we need to help each other clear the weeds, to allow the Word of God to germinate and to survive. God didn't design us to sit on thistles. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Jesus points to the field of cereal growing in the sun. Seeds that have been sown in ploughed ground, tended ground. They've germinated, unimpaired. They thrived, and they've produced a rich crop. And I can imagine Jesus saying, that's how it's meant to be. That's the kingdom of God, thriving in that field, life as God intended it. And the seed is the word of God. And Jesus tells us how to hear God's word so that it does indeed affect our lives. He said, prepare good and noble hearts. Doesn't say it's perfect, but it's prepared to hear and prepared to read God's word. It's open to those words. And indeed, it's so important that perhaps we need to think and question whether we have adjusted our lifestyle to be accepting of them. Whether we do indeed read or hear God's word. Because that's how it should be. He said we should hear the word. As we read or listen, we should actively participate in receiving it. Jesus encourages us to be active, to actively absorb what God has to say to us. And again, there's a challenge that if our reading of the Bible, and indeed even our listening to sermons, has become just stale or routine, perhaps we should look at ways to enliven it. And Jesus said we should retain it. We should take the words home with us, meditate on them, think about them, search for ways that the word can find its place in our heart. And then finally, by perseverance, produce a crop. And producing a crop is not a passive thing. In any way, like that farmer was not just going to chuck that seed out there and just leave it. There was other things to be done. It takes effort and perseverance. In one version of this parable, in Matthew's Gospel, it is recognized that the yield will not be the same for all. We should not expect it to be, but that's not our concern. Our concern should be that we are prepared to be actively involved in creating a harvest. That's what people of the word should do. At times in our lives, we can find ourselves in a variety of places. Sometimes we can be on the path, busy, barely noticing the seed that is scattered. Or we can be on that thin soil amongst the rocks and stones, never giving the seed any chance to grow or thrive. We might be surrounded by thorns and weeds, fighting for survival, desperate for help. Whatever, wherever, God's promise to us, his people, is the strength and support through his Spirit to grow, thrive, and develop for his glory. And I offer one final thought. Wherever we are, whoever we are, the seed that is scattered is the same seed. The seed is the word of God. God offers all his people the same opportunity for growth. We need to do our best to take that opportunity and to help others take it too. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your extravagant generosity in throwing out your words wherever we are in great quantities. And we pray that wherever we are in our lives at the moment, wherever we go, we may do our best to receive those words, to hear them, retain them, and through perseverance to act upon them to your glory. Amen.